bless you this morning. So good to see you in the house of God. Praise God. Amen. Pray God's wisdom and love and protection over you. And thank you for stepping out this morning and being here in the house of God today. Pray God's blessings on you. So good to see you today. And I believe that God has some great things in store for each one of us. Every day is a surprise, isn't it? Every day is a surprise. You never know what God's going to bring. And even in the challenging times that we face, God is still God. And he still brings surprises of life and freedom and liberty and protection and all that we need. There are gifts that the word outlines. There are 9 gifts in particular. There are many more gifts that aren't lined in the passage that we're looking at these last few weeks. But we'll continue today in part 5. And if you're jumping in right here in the middle, you can, of course, catch the prior 4 parts on YouTube and Facebook Live. But they're outlined in the Word of God. But I first want to start the last 4 weeks, wisdom and knowledge. We talked in week 1, faith, which is huge. Faith actually is part of every single one of the gifts. 3rd, we talked about healings and miracles. And 4th, last week, prophecy. This week, we'll continue in that. But we're given gifts, but we're called to develop those gifts. You know, you have talents. And I might have the talent to build a house, but I don't start with building a house. I have to start with sawing the piece of wood and learning how to use a hammer and to develop that gift. So our gifts in the Spirit, God gives us different gifts and talents, and those have to be developed, and that's part of what we have to do. We're not given the ability to do everything. We're given the talent to do everything, and God has given us the anointing to do different things and gifts, but it's our responsibility to take those things seriously, to develop them, and to use them for God's glory. And so we're talking about that, and that if there's anything in the Word of God, you say, well, are the gifts of healing for today? Well, what we teach is, if it's in the Word of God, it's for today. You know, if it's here between this cover and this cover, if it's in here, it's for us today. It's to strengthen us. Sometimes it's to correct us. You know, aren't you glad that you have people along the way to correct you? Well, God is the perfect corrector, and sometimes he has to correct us because we're off base. So it corrects us, it encourages us, we experience his love, we experience his faith, we draw closer to him, we mature. And so it's all found in the Word of God. So in that, these 9 gifts that we're going to talk about and have been talking about is for us to develop those and allow those to mature. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord, that you entrust us with your gifts. That you love us so much, Lord, that you didn't only create us and give us all the things that Elder Denny was just talking about and bless us with all the atmosphere and the gift of life, but Lord, you also place in us special gifts that you entrust to us to develop and to give you glory through and in. So Lord, I pray today that you'll open our eyes and help us to see you more clearly of who you are and to draw closer to you and to see you, Lord, as God, the God who walks with us day in and day out. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul outlines each one of these gifts. So let's read chapter 12, verses 4 to 11, and I'll get into what I believe the Lord wants me to share with you today. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the work of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, as God wills. So in 2020, here we are, halfway through the year, and if there's ever been a time in our lifetime that we need discerning of spirits, it's today. Discerning of spirits, it's the knowledge of knowing what is good and what is evil. It's to know the difference between when you hear a truth or when you hear a lie. The discerning of spirits gives us the ability to discern what spirit that is. Because it's easy to get tripped up and trapped. Even the Bible says that the very elect, in these days that we're living in, even the very elect, those that are seasoned, those that maybe have served the Lord for a long time, it will be easy during these times to fall and trip because of false prophecies, because people are telling lies. People are saying things that do not align with the truth of God's word. And so I believe that as we learn the discerning of spirits, it's not just for the theologians. I was talking to somebody just a couple of days ago, and we talked about all of the different beliefs of different denominations and how one denomination believes this and another denomination believes that, and how they kind of conflict, and how they could be that theologians and men of God get together and they set this denomination up and they set that denomination up, and yet they don't agree, but yet we serve the same God and we live from the same word. And so God is not confusing. Confusion is not of God, but we've got to be able to discern what is of God and what is not of God. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, just notate that verse. This is a verse that you've heard many times. We walk by faith and not by sight. So many times we can't touch what we believe. We can't define necessarily what we believe. We can't define God in his magnificence, as an awesomeness, and we can't necessarily tell you how God works, but faith in God, we trust that he works everything as he works, and we trust him in that. And so these gifts, I may not be able to give you the answer to how all these gifts work. I can only give you a description in my words of what the Bible says about them, and we have to trust God. We have to have faith in God, not by what we can see, but what we know in the truth of God's word. So discerning of spirits, we're talking about in the next few moments, is actually our spiritual eyes. We see through God's eyes. We see through a truth that God reveals to us through and by his word. And we don't have the ability to do that on our own. Now we know that, as we talked last week, there are counterfeits. You know, the devil has some. We'll see a story in just a moment of this, that how the devil tries to duplicate, manufacture discerning of spirits. How he tries to manufacture prophecy and different things that we see in the Word of God. And that always has been, and that always will be. The devil's going to try to get as close as he can to duplicate what God is doing. And so we've got to have discerning. What the reason for this gift being so important, we need to discern what is of God. We need to focus on what is of God. Because if it's not of God, it'll have a dead end street and it'll lead to a false security. And so God's word is the only security that we have for now, for today, for tomorrow, and for eternity. God's word never dies. It always lives and it produces life. Several years ago, we were on a missions trip up to Indiana, and there was a youth home up in Indiana led by one of our, we've known him for many, many years, Tim Cummings, and he'll probably be here in September for our annual conference. And so Tim Cummings was the pastor of this huge youth camp up there, and they would take in children that were troubled, maybe had problems or whatever issues, and they'd live on this camp. Well, so we took, for several years, a group of us and a couple of van loads up to Indiana, and we worked. We would clean up yards during the day, and we'd do manual labor during the day and have services at night in the chapel and different things. Well, we were on our way up to Indiana in this particular year, a few years ago, and we were in Cincinnati, Ohio, headed up, and someone had at that time it was a new app. I think now the app is pretty popular, but it's an app that gives you live events of what's going on traffic-wise to know if there are accidents, if there's someone sitting on the side of the road with a flat tire, if there are cops around, you know, different things that we need to know as we travel. And so someone had this app, and they said, as we're traveling through Cincinnati, Ohio, said, well, there's an accident up ahead, so there's some problems. And so it gave us a different route to get around the thing that was in front of us. So we decided to take the app's advice, and we took the detour and went around, and come to find out it was backed up. We don't know if it was a bad wreck. We don't know what was going on, but it kept us from being in the middle of that and being detained maybe for hours, and possibly even worse, maybe having an accident. And so discerning of spirits is really our navigation in our spirit life. And so So there are things that we face each and every day that, as we're in tune with God, as we use the gift of discerning spirits, which is communicated to us from God, as we use that, he can cause us to actually get around trouble and things in life that will cause us trouble now and for the future, and will cause us to be successful and to have victory even in times that would possibly cause devastation or trouble or heartache. How many know if we could see some of the things in our life and said, I wish I had seen that coming. Has anybody ever said that? I wish I had seen that coming. I wish I was prepared for that. But even when we're not physically or emotionally or human prepared for different things in life, God can give us a discerning of spirit, the gift of that. We can walk in that daily to where when we face things, even in the very moment that we face it, God will give us the ability to take a detour and to get around these things to where we don't lose hope in God. We can stay tuned to him. And so discerning of spirits is our navigational tool, if you will. It's to guide us. It's to protect us. Today we celebrate freedom. This weekend, July 4th, is all about freedom. And thank God for men and women who have served and are serving in our country. And most of all, God for giving us the liberty of not only physically celebrating Freedom Day, July 4th, in our country, but also spiritually, the freedom that we face. But the freedom that I talk about today and through the gifts of the Spirit are actually our freedom that we need to operate day in and day out. And it's not based on our circumstances. Because there are people that are going through financial difficulties right now. There are people that are going through health issues right now. There are people going through relationship challenges right now. And even in the midst of all those things, we can still have freedom, because freedom actually begins in the inside of us. And that's what God wants us to do, is to live in a heart of freedom, to where we're not in bondage, we're not in confusion, we're not in fear. How can we live that way? Well, there is a way to live that way, but we've also got to know that there are evil spirits in our time. There are evil things that are happening around us that we've got to be aware of, not to be fearful of, but to be aware of. It says in 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Notice that's a small s. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And so if we take things as they initially appear, if we take situations, or we take even statements that we're initially exposed to, we may make one determination based on the surface of that topic or that discussion or that statement. We may base everything that we do based on the initial response. That's not always accurate, is it? And so the discerning of spirits supernaturally gives us the ability to see a good spirit versus an evil spirit. The Greek word for discerning means through judgment. Through judgment. Now, judgment is not a word that we like. There will be a day of judgment, talks about in the end time, to where we're all judged according to serving God or serving the devil. But the Bible says do not judge, but I'm not talking about a judgmental attitude. There is a judgmental attitude. There's also a discerning through judgment, which is what God is talking about. The discerning gift is when we judge based on God's word. We don't judge. We're not a judgmental attitude. So what a judgmental attitude is what happened when the Pharisees went to Jesus and they said, well, what about this law? What about that law? You can't heal on Sundays. And they were always looking for different events that would happen that they could judge people's actions by and condemn them, which is really based out of a self-righteous attitude. So that is not of God. That's the type of judgment attitude that I'm not talking about today. I'm talking about a judge gift that God has given us to be able to see through God's eyes the intentions, the basis of what is happening. Does that make sense? It's understanding the underlying intention of love and grace. God's discernment, the gift of discernment, is based in love and grace. A judgmental attitude is based in self-righteousness and pride. So you see the difference. And so God has given us the ability to judge, but there are two things that God wants us to accomplish through that, through the gift of discernment. And that is, we express God's love. Number one, we express God's love. He protects us through that, but also be able to restore. So love and restoration is the goal of the gift of discernment. And so we'll kind of start with that. Bad spirits are named in the Bible. I think we've got them listed here. Some of them are the spirit of jealousy. That's found in Numbers 5:14. You can make a note of these to do a Bible study if you'd like. Bad spirits are outlined. The spirit of jealousy, Numbers 5:14. The spirit of sleep in Isaiah 29:10. The spirit of bondage, Romans 8:15. You may just want to take a picture of that. A perverse spirit, Isaiah 19:14. Spirit of infirmity, Luke 13:11. Spirit of divination, divisive spirit, Acts 16:16. So bad spirits are outlined in the Word of God. It gives us an idea of what bad spirits, evil spirits, their characteristics and what they look like. The Bible also names good spirits. Thank God. And some of the good spirits that are outlined here, I'll give you four. The spirit of truth in John 16:13. A right spirit, David talks about in Psalm 51:10. A free spirit, Psalm 51:12. And an excellent spirit. All of these are, I mean, these are series within themselves. They're huge. Each one of these. Excellent spirit found in Daniel 6:3. And so God gives us the power to resist or to overcome bad spirits. All these bad spirits in the Word of God, again, are not to make us fearful, not to make us scared, not to make us to run and hide, but to be able to know that God has given us the power to overcome bad spirits. So I'm going to give you two stories this morning. The gift of discernment is found in Acts chapter 8. And it's the story of Simon. And we see that Simon, in verses 18 through 23, Acts 8, 18 to 23, says, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. So he, speaking of Simon, offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. So Simon was trying to manipulate the Spirit of God, and he saw this gift, and he wanted to give money to buy what these men of God had, that it was only through the power and Spirit of God. And so it says in verse 20, it says, but Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. How many know that money can't buy everything? It can't buy everything. You could have all the money in the world, and there are certain things that you can't buy. Number one, you can't buy God. And he's proven that right here. I'm sure Simon was able to pay him what he wanted to be paid, but you can't buy God. You can't buy peace, right? There are a few things that money cannot buy. So he offered him money, but Peter said to him in verse 20, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. See, Peter was operating in the gift of discernment right here. He saw that Simon's heart was not right. He was simply wanting to pay something for his own use, to elevate him, to make him seem more powerful. You see, it's self-centered. And so remember what I said a while ago, that the purpose for the gift of discernment is for protection, for our protection, to protect us so that we can see it for what it is, and also for the purpose of restoration, that restoration can be facilitated. So we see that in verse 22. So Peter has spoke the truth. He's discerned that this man was evil and was wanting to do something for his own gain, personal gain, to elevate himself. But then in verse 22, Peter said this, repent therefore of this, your wickedness. So here we see the heart of this gift was restoration, to bring restoration to Simon. Now, whose decision is it to be restored? Simon's. Because God extends, he always extends to each one of us to be restored. Has anybody ever messed up? I had a friend one time that did, right? We all have. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And so God gives us, always extends to us, the gift of restoration. And so Peter said to him, repent. Therefore, of this your wickedness, I pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness. There again, this is another sermon within itself. I mean, this is huge. You're poisoned with bitterness and bound by iniquity. So he even told him what his issue was. Not for the sake of Peter saying, hey, I know you're junk. He was saying it so that it could be identified, so he could be restored back to God. And so we see here just a powerful truth that we could learn from. But Peter discerned that there were intentions by Simon for his own gain, for his own purpose. And so we see Peter was operating then in the gift of discernment. That same power, the same God that gave Peter that knowledge that day, is the same God that gives us the knowledge today. What happens is we get distracted by all the other, the electronic devices and the Googles and all the information that we have, that it's so easily accessible. It's certainly a lot quicker than praying and asking God for direction, isn't it? Because we can get an answer like that. And so what if it's not right? At least we've got an answer. And so we get caught up in that. We make our decisions based on what we discovered rather than hearing what God is trying to say to us. So the next story I want to give to you is also in the book of Acts, in chapter 16. And this is where Paul discerns an evil spirit in a young girl. And at first glance, you think, well, was there an evil spirit working? Well, we'll see in verse 16 of Acts 16, it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. There's the counterfeit that the devil uses to make it look like she's a prophet of God. Now, I told you all a story last week where I was exposed, Chris and I were exposed to a young lady as we were walking by a straw market in the Bahamas, and she called out what I was wearing the Sunday before. And so we see that the power of the devil can cause us to think, well, maybe she is speaking of truth. And so we see that was the case here. She was used by fortune telling and actually made her masters a lot of money. And so this girl followed Paul and us in verse 17 and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Now, some people would say, wow, that was great marketing. Hey, we need to learn from her. She's really getting the word out there that, you know, these guys are, but there was something not right. Something not right. Even though it seemed on the surface to be a good marketing strategy, there was still something that wasn't right. And so it goes on to say that this girl followed Paul and us, crying out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, I love that, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. So there was power given to Paul to cast that spirit out of the young girl. And so it was for the protection of what all was going on around them. They were there to minister the gospel. And did you know that the devil is always going to show up to take away from what God is doing? It's almost daily that I hear somebody say, why is the devil so mad at me? Why don't the devil just leave me alone? Maybe somebody said that this morning. You're on your way to church. Why don't the devil just leave me alone? Because he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And anytime he can do that or even have a half a chance of doing that, he's going to do it. Especially if you're doing something for God. And so the spirit of discernment can come upon us that we see that it's not a judgmental spirit. It's not a spirit to say, that evil spirit is in you, come out of her, and you allow the devil to use you so you're no good anymore. No, the reason why we're to discern that, there again, it's first in grace and love, and secondly, it's in restoration, to bring restoration. Because we're going to see more and more, I don't know how much longer we've got on this earth, but we're going to see more and more of this around us. And we've got to be able to discern what's right and wrong. We've got to be able to, when we hear something, even though it may seem right on the surface, to be able to know that it's not right. And so it's okay to question things. It's okay to say, not necessarily get on Facebook to do it, because then you're going to get, had somebody say one time, what is your advice on this? I've asked everybody else in town what their advice, but I'm confused. What is your advice? And I'm thinking, the last thing I want to do is to add to that stack. You know? And so the really that our first choice in advice and direction should be from God. Because you ask 10 different people, and they could be well-meaning people that love you, but you're going to get 10 different answers probably. Why not go to God? And so God's attitude toward us is to draw us closer to Him. That's the whole thing. So that we're not confused, so that we're not living and confused about what's right and what's wrong. Is this right? Is this wrong? So some people are confused today because they're listening to everything else besides listening to the voice of God. And all this points to the Great Commission. Remember what the Great Commission is? What are we living for? What are we here on earth for? It says in Matthew 28:19-20 what we're here for. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so we're given the Great Commission. That's the commission to every person, every living person will or ever will live. That's our purpose that we're placed on earth for, is to draw people to Jesus Christ. Well, I need to draw there first. I can't take somebody to some place I've never been. So I need to draw close to the Lord, and let's take as many as we can with us. And so that's our purpose on earth. Even as we work jobs, we don't have to quit our job to do that. As a matter of fact, we need more people in the workplace, in the guitar shops. We need more people. You know, so these guys, these ladies are doing just that. They're being a witness in the marketplace, and we need more of that. We need more of people in the marketplace, whether it's in Winn-Dixie, whether it's in Harris Teeter, wherever we go, to show forth the love of Christ, that we are fulfilling the purpose, drawing all men to Christ, not to me, but to Christ. So that's our ultimate goal. And so in that, we're given these 9 gifts to help us in doing those things. So what are the 5 steps, I believe, to operating in the discerning of spirits? Number one is to have ears to hear. Have ears to hear. We're given the ability to hear, but do we put forth the effort that's required to hear? My father-in-law, Papa, and I love Papa, he was at the house yesterday, but back when Crystal's mom was living, and she was like a mom to me, she would get frustrated from time to time because she would say something, and he said, "You didn't tell me." She said, "Yes, I did." He said, "No, you didn't." And so they would always kid about him having selective hearing. Now, none of you have that, and I don't either. But when God speaks to us, sometimes He's telling us things, but we're not making the effort to hear it. And so it says in John 8:47, who is God? Speaking of God, he who is of God hears God's words. Right? So if we're paying attention to God, if we're having an ear to God, we hear God's words. He goes on to say, therefore you do not hear because you are not of God. We don't hear because we're not paying attention to God. Some people would say, well, I wish I could hear God speak. Maybe you said that. Somebody come at me and say, do you have a word for me from God? I said, I've got a lot of words for you from God. How much time do you have? There's a whole bunch of words for you. And so many times we don't hear what God is saying because we're not listening. We've got to listen. And so we've got to develop our spiritual ears to hear God. Even in the midst of a course of a day, even in traffic, it's our first thought to get aggravated when somebody cuts us off, especially when we're in a hurry. We're in a hurry to get somewhere. We've got 15 minutes to get there, and they cut us off, and God is speaking, be patient. They're having a bad day too. Have ears to hear. Develop our ears to hear God. The second thing is be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes, I guess it's more like this with men than it is women. Sometimes if there's something going on, somebody's dealing with something that you can't relate to, your response is, just get over it, isn't it? Has anybody ever said that? I haven't, but I'm just saying. Have you? Just get over it. But to be sensitive to someone is to take the time and to listen. And you know what? Sometimes you can't say anything, but I'm praying for you. I love you. And so that's the same on a lot smaller scale, but that's the same type of sensitivity that we need to have for the Holy Spirit. We need to be sensitive to His leading and His guiding, because the Holy Spirit is just a soft nudge many times. Now, the Holy Spirit can come in fire. It can come in power. It has the ability. But and as we see in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came in the form of tongues on their head. And we'll talk about that next Sunday. But most times, the Holy Spirit is that soft nudge that requires us to have full attention of what God is saying to us. And so it's developing a sensitivity. We've got to hear what God is saying. We've got to develop a sensitivity toward the Holy Spirit that comes from the presence of God. The closer we draw to God, the more sensitive to God that we become. Because there are many things through the course of a day that we see things differently, the more sensitive that we get to God. Our heart becomes softer to different situations. Where we would normally say, just get over it, kind of flippantly, and let's go on with life. Then you would take the time to encourage and to speak to them, or to give encouragement in some way or love. John 14:26 says, but the Helper, notice that's capital H, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things. So what do you want to learn? What do you want to be taught? There's much in the Word of God, and while we're here on earth, we never stop learning. We will never plateau and stop learning. Well, the Holy Spirit, God says, was sent to us to teach us all things. That means all things. And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So that's how important it is to draw close to the Holy Spirit. Third, take action with caution. Take action, not hastily, not to rip out of there, but take action with caution. We take action with caution because we're stepping out saying, God, I can't do this alone. Matter of fact, God, I don't want to do this alone. I need you to lead and guide me. I need you to show me your way of doing this. It's an always relying on God's prompting and direction. Take action. We're called to take action, but we need to do it with caution. The Bible talks about that, but it's used as a word careful in Ephesians 5:15 and 17. So see then that you walk circumspectly. Now, that's a big long word, but other versions interpret that word as carefully. See then that you walk carefully. Why do we have to walk carefully? It's not that God is slow and He's hanging back there and we've got to wait for Him to get His cane and come up with us. That's not it at all. There are things along the way that He wants you to see and learn from that if you speed through it, you lost the entire point. There are many times that we face things in life that's maybe a struggle for us, and God is actually using those things to build faith in Him by the things that we see on the path. That's for somebody right there. We love to ride motorcycles, and I don't much now anymore, but a couple times a year we'll pull out of the garage and take a ride, and we can go down Lawrence Road, the same road we've been down 100 times, in a car, but get on a motorcycle and ride it, and things just seem so different. You smell the grass, you smell the flowers. Over the sound of the pipes, you hear the birds. You just get a different perspective, because why? We have a different attention around us than we do when we're just through the speedy course. I'm trying to get from point A to point B as quickly as I can. And so when we fly through that thing, we miss so much. Well, that's the way it is with walking with God. It's not that we're going to outrun God and, God, come on, speed it up. You know, we can do this a little quicker. He's saying, listen, I'm trying to show you some things to build your faith in me if you'll take the steps that I'm causing you to take. And so when we walk carefully, as the Bible says, when we walk carefully, it goes on to say, not as fools, but as wise. And so how do we become wise? We become wise not by not facing anything that's a struggle. We don't become wise by saying, well, I don't have a problem in this life. Everything is great. I don't have a problem. That's not it at all. It's that we face problems in life. We face problems and struggles and issues and circumstances in life by God giving us the way through that thing. And not as a fool, the Bible says. It says redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So we do that by taking action, but we do it with caution. Fourth, allow God to work in the situation. Now, you've heard me talk about this before, to allow God to work in the situation. If I could just get my hands on the situation, I could fix it. You know, we have a great plan for doing that, especially us guys. I mean, we could take it apart, put it back together, and have a great plan. But we've got to allow God room to work for it to be the very best plan. The biggest characteristic of discernment is knowing that God's gift to us is by Him working the plan out. So if God gives us the gift of discernment, it's not for us to fix it. It's for us to see it as it is and allow God to fix it. Now, God may use you. We're tools of God. We're hands and feet of God. He does use us. He wants to use us. He desires to use us. But we've got to know, as point three said, move cautiously. We've got to allow God to work the situation too. We've got to allow Him to bring the best purpose out of that thing. We don't have the ability to change any situation for the good. We don't have the ability except through the power of God, the leading of the Holy Spirit. So we don't jump out and take matters in our own hands and say, I'm going to fix this. It'll be all done. That way it's out of God's hair. You don't have to worry about it. He can go on to the next thing. We've missed it, haven't we? And so we allow God to work. John 15, 4 and 5 gives it the best. It says, abide in me. Abide in me, Jesus says, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. There is nothing in us individually that we can be fruitful in except through God. It says, cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Not just bears fruit, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So we see that the truth of God's word is telling us that we in ourselves cannot do what God wants us to do. We've got to allow God room to work. If we saw a limb off that pine tree, and it could be healthy as it can be, strong, sturdy, oak tree. I mean, we see down in the pier area that some of these oak trees, the limbs are as big as some trees are. But if we saw that limb off from that thing and let it sit there, it can produce no fruit of its own. It dies. Because why? It's been separated from its fruit. It's been separated from the life give. And that's the way we are without Christ. We can only do what God wants us to do through His power and direction. And finally, number five, be obedient to God's leading and timing. Be obedient to God's leading and His timing. And I talked a few weeks ago about patience, and I won't re-preach that. But this is really a key element of patience. Patience is something God wants us to have. Patience in allowing Him to lead us and to guide us in this perfect timing. Because God's timing is always perfect. It's never late, and it's never early. But we've got to be obedient in His leading and guiding. Now, obedience is very key to the Word of God. We see in Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 3, the power of obedience. When he's talking about the children, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. That's all out of obedience for your parents. How much greater should our obedience be for God? Well, it talks about that in 1 Kings 3:14. So if you walk in my ways, God says, if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. There's huge promises of blessing all out of obedience, waiting on God's timing, wait on His leading. It's God's way. Now, I believe the second half of 2020 can be even better than the first half of 2020. You say, right. Why? Because, so they've got something for this COVID-19. No. Our blessing doesn't come out of finding a solution to that. Our blessing comes out of being obedient to God, even in the middle of COVID-19. Because our life, there's more to our life than the current circumstances that we're in right now. There's more to our life because God, if we look throughout the Bible, we'll see that men and women of God were actually fruitful and more fruitful in times of difficulty like we're facing today. So God can bring huge blessings out of this right now. So the second half of 2020, as we do what God's calling us to do and are obedient to His word, God can bring about the biggest blessings that we've ever seen in our entire lives, even in the middle of this that we're facing right now. And so today, my whole purpose is to encourage you not to run and hide. We've got to use wisdom. We've got to be careful. But we're not to live in fear. We're to trust God. Not trust in the hand of man, but trust in God, in His hand. Be obedient to Him in His timing. And see that God will bring about in our lives, as we trust Him, as we're obedient to Him, that God will bring about in our lives greater and greater blessings. Now, it may not be our preference. If I gave you a piece of paper today and say, write down on that what your preference is for the second half of 2020. Now, your preference would be something grand, I'm sure. And may not be exactly with what we're going to face in these next 6 months of 2020. But if we trust God, if we know God, if we're led by His Spirit, then we will face promises in these next 6 months than we have never, ever faced in our life. I believe that. And your preference will be exceeded by what God will do even in the middle of what we're facing right now. I believe that. We're going to pray in just a moment. But before we do, I was thinking about how God has used the gift of discernment and how He has built that in our life all these years. And it was probably mid-90s, maybe toward the late 90s. I was given an opportunity. And when I was thinking about that this week, I was thinking, wow, that'd be hard to turn down. But I was given an opportunity back in the 90s. This businessman who was very successful, he had real estate dealings everywhere. He was very successful. He had businesses, he had real estate, he was building this, building that, building commercial, building residential. And so we had spent some time together. We'd hang out a little bit, and he had a big boat that I really liked, and I had a Harley, he had a Harley. We spent some time riding together. We'd ride up to Camden, down to Camden, and see some of the things that he was doing. Well, one day he came to me and said, Mike, I want to make you a proposal. He said, I want you to be my personal advisor. I'll extend to you and offer you a position to come on board with me and you be my advisor. I mean, he had an airplane up and down the East Coast, had a lot going on. And so our friendship kind of came to this point. And you know, when you're close to somebody, the last thing you want to do is let them down. But I had to think of my family, of Crystal and the children, and something just didn't sit right. I mean, from paper, it looked, man, this could be an opportunity, Mike. I mean, I would have to put aside my other interest and everything else because I'd be on the clock for him. When he said, leave, let's leave, I'd advise him. I'd look at some deals coming up and give him my opinion. And so on the surface, it looked good. It looked like it would be a great avenue to take care of Crystal and the children and to grow and to do what I love doing and working with people. And everything seemed right except for that in my gut. You know what I'm talking about? I talked to Crystal about it. And she kind of had the same hesitation. We just kind of came to a wall and finally came to the point that I had to make a decision. So we were talking one day and he said, Mike, have you thought any more about it? I said, I have. I said, man, I appreciate it. I said, I really do. I said, I've enjoyed our friendship and enjoyed what we're doing together and all that, but I'm going to have to pass. I don't think it's for me. I mean, I appreciate it. Thank you for your confidence. Well, it wasn't long after that that some things took a downturn and he lost a lot of stuff, including his marriage. It all fell apart. And I look back after a few years when all this happened, and of course my heart went out to him. I prayed for him. And I thought, God, how awesome you are to protect me in the ways that you protect me. And you know what? I could have done it anyway. I could have said, Crystal, you know, this is our opportunity. I want to take care of you and the children. I'm going to do this. I could have pushed and did it anyway. But thank God. Thank God I listened to God's leading. And situations like that have happened over and over over the years, to where God will just speak a soft voice, and it's a warning. It's a warning that, Mike, don't go there. And other times it's God saying, I've opened this door for you. It's scary, but this door's for you to walk through. And just in the past few years, God blessed us with a door that I was scared to death, because it was beyond me. It was way over my head. And God spoke to me and said, this is for you. I'm going to bless you through this thing. And I talked to Crystal about it, and she said, Mike, are you sure? And I looked at her, and I'd heard the voice of God. I looked at her, and I said, I've never been more sure about anything in my life that this is for us. And I took a step, and I did it, and God blessed our socks off. I'm saying all that to say this. If we'll trust God, if we'll develop an ear to hear him, if we will draw close to him and say, God, this thing called life is bigger than I am. This situation that I'm dealing with in life is bigger than I am. God, I want to trust you to give me the leading and the guidance that I can walk in obedience to you. I believe that somebody's here today that needs to hear that. Needs to know that God is walking with you. He's our best coach. It doesn't matter if it's in finances or if it's in marriage and family, in sickness, COVID-19, whatever decision you're going to face today or tomorrow or these next few days, or you may be facing right this very moment, it is not bigger than God. Through the gift of discernment, it's in operation right now. You don't have to earn it. If you had to earn it, I'd have failed. But God loves you. God loves you. He wants to extend his grace and love to you today, and he wants to restore what the devil has taken from you. Do you believe that today? Let's all stand together. Let's stand together. Crystal, come join me. I want us to pray. Bow your heads. I want to ask Wendy to lead us in worship for just a moment here. If she does, let's just turn our face toward heaven. Let's, in your timing and what you've wanted to accomplish in and through the circumstances that we face today. Lord, I thank you for every life. I thank you for every heart. Lord, I thank you that every single person listening to me right now is called of you, is born of you. And Lord, you have purposes greater than what we've ever imagined. So Lord, I pray that our faith arise, that we be encouraged to draw closer to you, God, and that we know that we can accomplish all things through Christ who gives us strength. God, there is nothing that we will face that we can't face in faith and in victory with you, Lord. So build us up today. I pray now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We love you and pray God's blessings on you today.